starting a little late in starting, but nothing can take place. There's no reality if there's not a video of it. So if we gave the share and the video wouldn't be here, it would be as if the share didn't take place. So we had to let the video man arrive. We thank him for his expeditious response. Come to the Chag of Pesach. We have to be careful not to get lost in the practical details. Practical details are all important, and we can't celebrate the Chag without the practical details. But as the expression goes, we could not see the forest for the trees. So if we don't expand our horizons and see how the whole sphere of Pesach is meant to affect our consciousness, then we missed most of the Yontif. Pesach brings us back to the beginning of Chumash Shmos, the first four, five parashiyos in Shmos, particularly the first four parashiyos. All that was involved in the process of the Golus, the Geula. We celebrate, or mark, I should say, two different types of things. On one hand, we mark those aspects which brought us into the Golus, but we mark even more importantly the things which brought us out of the Golus. At the very beginning of the parasha, the Torah tells us, "Ve'lishmoiz b'nei Yisrael aboy Mitzrayimo, v'yikol nefesh yotze yerach Yaakov shivim nofesh v'yosef hoyev Mitzrayim." And the Ksavsoiva quotes Rashi tells us, "Afa bishamonon b'chayehem," even though in parashas Vayigash, during their lifetime, as they came to Mitzrayim, they were counted. Monon b'misoson, they counted them again upon the death, lehudi achiboson, that the Rabbi Shalom should reveal the special love that he had for them. And the Ksav Sofer tells us that one dimension of this is what accounted in this period for the survival of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. We were in foreign territory, a religion which was very different than ours, a different culture than ours, but accounted for our survival. And throughout this entire period, we maintained a very distinct identity. We did not assimilate into the non-Jewish world around us. We did not join the religion. We did not undertake to act in a way consistent with them or race. What's the reason for this? And as it tells us, Ve'lushmoz b'nei Yisrael aboy Mitzrayim, haboim in the present tense, not shabo, but haboim. Why in the present tense? So you can be'eis boyim the Mitzrayim. Throughout this entire period, during the time that Yaakov Avinu lived, his children lived, their children, the entire 70 nefesh that originally came to Mitzrayim, throughout this period, they were unchanged. They were the same Jews that they were when they came into Mitzrayim. And therefore they counted upon the death of Diachibosan that they were as significant when they left this world as they were when they came to Mitzrayim. And he says this took place in two ways. One is in the lifetime of Yaakov Avinu, called Zman Shel Yaakov Chai, during the lifetime of Yaakov Avinu himself. Hayu Mashgiach Abonov, he kept careful watch on them. Uberiya Ba'al Masogi. It was enough. His presence was enough that he didn't have to do anything else. The mere fact that they knew that he was present, that he observed, that he oversaw what they were doing, was enough to keep them under Derech HaYosher. After Yaakov Avinu died, and we entered a new stage, V'yoshes Yoshes Yodu Aleinecho, meaning to say, Yavo Yosef B'kocho V'yodu HaTkifu HaYim Akfum L'Arab Mitzrayim. Yosef could not accomplish this merely by being present, merely in a paternal sense, but Yosef wielded great authority. He was a king. And therefore he enforced the separation of Eretz Goshen and Eretz Mitzrayim. And he kept the Jews apart from Egyptian society, not by his presence, but by his authority. And this endured throughout his lifetime too. Until finally, Vayomas Yosef v'chol echa v'chol hador ahu, and this was also gone. So these are the stages in our entry into Mitzrayim. In the lifetime of Yaakov Avinu, with such a great figure as our head, his presence in our midst was enough to inspire us. Knowing that he was there, knowing that he was involved, led us to act in appropriate fashion. In his absence, it wasn't so easy to achieve inspiration. But Yosef had authority, was a king. And he used that authority to maintain the Jewish community. After the lifetime of Yosef and his brothers, then we begin the descent into Egyptian society. There was nothing to maintain these barriers anymore. This is a very important step to realize in the existence of the Jewish community. We sometimes live by inspiration. Great figures in our midst. Their mere presence is enough to inspire us. And we sometimes live by institutional strength. It's not that we have this remarkable figure that inspires, but our institutions are strong. And therefore they keep pushing us in a certain direction. But that's already, we're in a different realm in that regard. Because we don't have the same inspiration that we once had. We don't have the same inner response that we once had. We need a little bit more outer product. And if we're not careful, that wanes in time and we begin the process of assimilation. Thus, renewal constantly in the Jewish community is to develop in our midst those types of personalities and people whose spirituality inspires us. So, our association with them leads us to act appropriately. You know, we talk in our relationship with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that the Yira comes in two different ways. There's Yira Sa'inish and Yira Sa'raymamos. Yiras HaRoimimus means we stand in awe of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. It's not because the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will, there'll be a consequence of acting in some other fashion. My mere consciousness of the existence of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam causes me to act appropriately. In his presence, how could I act otherwise? At times when we're more removed from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we need to think in terms of what the consequences will be. But as the Rambam tells us, that's a much lower service of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So renewal in Jewish life is constantly to produce in our community those figures that will be great in the ruchnius, in the spirituality of Klal Yisrael, or great in Torah, that they can inspire us by their presence to serve the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that will truly be taken with inspiration, will find the inner strength within ourselves in their presence, to serve the Rabbeinu Shel Olam appropriately. It's a thought that came to me today, in the late hours this afternoon, upon hearing of the very unfortunate passing of Scheinberg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the words are hard to utter. The words are hard to utter. It's a person that I knew for many, many years, that I was associated with, Shverzel Zayin Gesund was associated with him even for longer years than myself. He was probably, in my estimation, of all the people born in this country, probably the most remarkable Godel that emerged, born in the United States. A towering person recognized throughout the world and in every community for his towering mastery of the halacha, Shas, Shulchan Aruch, Paiska. But beyond that, a very loving and inspiring figure. A person that loved people that Klal Yisrael loved. His association with people was remarkable. And that was his enduring strength. He combined his greatness as a Talmud Chacham with an extreme Avas Yisrael. And people felt throughout his life very comfortable in his presence and inspired by him. He had the ability to comfort, the ability to inspire. Not through forcefulness, but merely by his presence, his greatness. And that's really, ultimately, what we strive for, is to produce those figures that have the ability to inspire us. That there's an entire world out there that we're at odds with, and it doesn't make a difference. Our sense of direction is so clear because we have such a figure in our midst. We need also to think about where in the Golus we go astray, where we wind up in trouble. It is very interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu, upon the dispute between Dothan and Aviram, he says, "Ocheinoda hadavar," and as Rashi tells us, Moshe Rabbeinu constantly was puzzled. Why is it that the Jews have this bitter fate, this bitter lot to be enslaved in Mitzrayim? And now Moshe Rabbeinu understood, after witnessing Dothan and Aviram and their entire incident and their antagonism towards him and towards each other. That we're worthy of this punishment. And the question is, Chazal tell us, Moshe Rabbeinu, who is sojourning in Mitzrayim, is 1 year that he's in Mitzrayim. The final year in Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu comes, he brings forth the Makkos, and a year later we're out. By the time Moshe Rabbeinu came upon the scene, we were spiritually in a very devastated state. As the Malachim would observe, even after a year under the tutelage of Moshe Rabbeinu and all the Makkos, it's Kriyas Yamsuf, Halolu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Halolu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. We didn't look much different than the Egyptians amongst whom we lived. And he notes, as Chazal tell us, that Bris Mila lapsed in Mitzrayim too. So what was Moshe Rabbeinu's big question? Why the Jewish people were suffering in Mitzrayim. We were over the Avodah Zarah, one of the great sins. The mitzvah of Mila, the most basic point in Jewish identity, we had abandoned. So what was his problem? What didn't Moshe Rabbeinu understand? That suddenly, Achei Noyda Hadavar. Now I understand what's behind the problems of the Jewish people. And the Ksav Sefer tells us that the fact that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam would be angered with the Jewish people, that's not what Moshe Rabbeinu did not understand. But when the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is upset with us, Einish, his punishment, can come in two different ways. And we recite it, in fact, each day in the Tachnon, each morning and afternoon. Vayomer David al Gott, Tzar li ma'od. Niblo no v'yad Hashem ki rabim rachamav v'yad adom al apoylo. If I am to suffer, I should suffer directly from the hands of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam himself. V'yad adom al apoylo. But I should not fall into the hands of human beings. When we suffer at the hands of human beings, we suffer far more greatly than when the Rabbeinu Shel Olam directly punishes us. And this is what puzzled Moshe Rabbeinu. We sinned against the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, so the Rabbeinu Shel Olam should punish us. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam has numerous means of punishing us which don't involve other human beings persecuting us. There's issues of health, Drishas of Parnasa. There's a lot of ways, things that we need in life which come directly from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam himself. But why did the Rabbeinu Shel Olam subject us to punishment through the mitzvah? And there Ksav Sofer tells us the determinant of which way the Rabbeinu Shel Olam acts towards us depends what we're guilty of. If we are merely guilty of violating the Bein Odom Lamokom, then the Einish comes directly from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's hands. When we step over the line and we become involved in violations of Bein Odom L'Chaveira, then the Rabbeinu Shel Olam sends the Einish to people. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu discovered. The fact that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is upset with us, that I knew. But why did the Rabbeinu Shel Olam cause us to be persecuted by the Mitzrayim? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu could not understand. And now that he saw that amongst the Jews we did not act appropriately towards each other, now I understand why we have this difficulty. Perhaps from this standpoint we can understand. The Novi tells us, Tzion mishpat tipode v'shaveh b'tzdoka. That Gulas Tzion will take place b'shaveh b'tzdoka, with tzdoka. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos, the Golias will not be redeemed, ela b'schus ha-tzdoka, only in the schus of tzdoka. Tzdoka is our rectifying of the Bein Odom L'Chaveiro. Instead of moving away in antagonistic fashion to other Jews, we now move towards other Jews. And perhaps that's what lies behind the Mos Chitim. Mos Chitim, Chazal tell us, our sages tell us, is a very ancient minhag. It's one of the earliest practices of the Jewish community. Ancient. And I believe we could trace it perhaps even back to Mitzrayim itself. In the Chumash and Parshas Bo, we have the Parsha tells us, Mishchu Kulochem Tzoin B'Shachatu HaPosach. Right? That which we'll read on the first day of Yom Tov. Rashi brings two interpretations in Parshas Bo of this Parsha. In one interpretation, Rashi tells us, quotes the Mechilta, Mishchu Mishiyeshlo or Kchu Mishenlo. And one of the Achronim interprets this in his Agod in the following fashion, that we had to take the lamb to offer the Korban Pesach. Mishchu Mishiyeshlo, the person that has the means, who owns a lamb, should take his own lamb. Kchu Mishenlo is not that the person that doesn't have should go and buy one, but rather the one that is well endowed, who go buy one for lemisha inlo, for the person that doesn't have. In Mitzrayim was no different than almost every other exile of the Jewish people. There were some shvatim that did not suffer greatly, and in fact knew great fortune in Mitzrayim, and they were wealthy. Some of the shvatim, a few of the shvatim, most of the Jews lived in poverty. So it was the responsibility of the well-heeled to supply the Korban Pesach for the impoverished in the community. And as we know, what two schusim? In the Egiya Eis Doidim, it was time for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to redeem us from Mitzrayim. But we were unworthy. We had no mitzvahs. So the Rabbeinu Shel Olam gave us two mitzvahs, Bris Milah and Korban Pesach. So the Korban Pesach was the necessary step for us to be redeemed from Mitzrayim. How did that take place? Most of Klal Yisrael was not in a position to bring the Korban Pesach. Chumi she'ein lo. Those that had the means provided it for the rest of Klal Yisrael. And thus this brought about, the very geula took place by an act of kirik, that we were concerned for other Jews. The antithesis of Achei Noida Hadova. And I perhaps have thought that's the meaning. The Haggadah begins after Kiddush with a very strange passage. A very difficult passage to put together. There are two very obvious questions. There are many questions, but there were two very obvious questions about it. First of all, Kol Dich Min Yaseh V'Yechol. After Kiddush, with the doors closed, we say Kol Dich Min Yaseh V'Yechol. If you really mean Kol Dich Min Yaseh V'Yechol, my Zayda, my father's father, Olav HaShalom, was a soldier with the Tsar's army in the 1890s. And he served in the Arctic Circle. And in a city in northern Russia, he came to a town in northern Russia once, and there was a wealthy man who lived in this town. And outside his house, there hung a sign that was up 24/7, 365 days a year. And the sign read, Kol Dich Min Yaseh V'Yechol. And any yid could come any time of the day or night, and they gave you a meal. That's Kol Dich Min Yaseh V'Yechol. The sign hung. It didn't hide it behind closed doors. It was there. You wanted, you knocked at the door any time you wanted, at a day or night, and you got a meal. That's Kol Dich Min Yaseh V'Yechol. Kol Dich Min Yaseh V'Yechol. I make Kiddush. Finished the Kiddush already. The door's closed. Kol Dich Min Yaseh. We should open the door like Shashoy Chamoska before Kiddush and yell Kol Dich Min Yaseh V'Yechol. With the door's closed, Kol Dich Min Yaseh V'Yechol. The next phrase, Kol Ditzrich Yaseh V'Yifsach. First of all, there's no Korban Pesach now. We're in Bovel, so what are we saying? Kol Ditzrich Yaseh V'Yifsach. Secondly, if there would be a Korban Pesach, we couldn't invite anyone on the night of Yom Tov anyway. As we know, in a Pesach Nechal El Olam Nuyav, one has to join a group for the Korban Pesach at the time of the Shechitas Pesachim, an Erech Pesach. So what does it help on the night of Yom Tov? Is both no Korban Pesach in Bovel and Kol Ditzrich Yaseh V'Yifsach, which would not, it's not relevant anyhow. So what is the meaning? Two obvious problems. So I thought that in light of the fact that in Pesach Mitzrayim, the wealthier people enabled all of us to bring the Korban Pesach, that's the meaning of this passage. What we're saying is the following. Now that we're in Golis, we're in Bovel, we don't have a Korban Pesach. So how are we Mekayim the Moschitim? It's called Dich Bin Yaseh V'Yechol. Before Yom Tov, we go around and we look for those in the community that have needs and we supply their needs. But the original way it was done, we can't do. What we're waiting for, in fact, is the Rabbeinu Shalom should restore us, Ashat HaHocha, Shana Babar Adi Yisrael. And next year, it's now, we should not be involved with Kol Dich Bin Yaseh V'Yechol anymore. Next year, we're going to have a new campaign. We'll have signs all over Klal Yisrael called Ditzrich Yetzir V'Yipsach. We're going to go back to the way it was the first time, but the first Mois Chitim, that to supply the needs of the Korban Pesach. That's our tefillah before the Rabbeinu Shalom. Now it's Lach V'Anya, and now we're reduced to Kol Dich Bin Yetzir V'Yechol. But our fervent hope is that we'll be elevated again to Kol Ditzrich Yetzir V'Yipsach. But this is the time of the year when we stress so much the Bein Odom L'Mokom, the involvement with the Rabbeinu Shalom, the realization of the centrality of the Bein Odom L'Chaveiro and all of this. That this is what led us into the harshness of this Golos. This is what took us out, and there are Midrashim also, further Midrashim that I don't want to go into now. The Chisav HaChazduchim Zogah Olta. Medrash that says when we saw we were not being redeemed, that we began to do chesed for each other. And that's Chus to Rabbeinu Shalom to who saved us. The process out of Golas into Gula, it's necessary to be involved deeply in the Bein Odom L'Chaveiro. So Pesach is not only the celebration of the Bein Odom L'Mokom, even though that's most central, but we cannot close our eyes to the centrality of the Bein Odom L'Chaveiro in the entire process. I don't want to take more time, it's late, of the Agodas, but the realization, Pesach, is how we survive. How we survive. And the Medrash tells us, Sofer talks about it at length, that why, in fact, did the Golas take place in Mitzrayim, of all the countries in the world? And the reason is, that Mitzrayim was the most advanced country in the world. In every regard, it was the wealthiest, the most powerful, the most educated. If Moshe Rabbeinu had come and he pulled off what he did in the third world, so they would have said, big deal, you know. In Peoria, you could do anything, you know. Come on the big stage in New York, and we'll see what you could do. You know, I went to Africa someplace in some backwater third world country. So, yeah, of course you're a big star. Come and try him, what a real action is, what a real players are, what a real mechashvim are, what a real, and we'll see. Do you match up? Well, you're a small town act. So the Rabbeinu Shalom brought Moshe Rabbeinu on the big stage. The greatest chachomim in the world were present. They represented every type of knowledge that they had. And they said Moshe Rabbeinu is something. But there's another aspect to it as well. No slave had ever escaped from Mitzrayim, Chazal tell us. The feasibility of escape from Mitzrayim is an impossible. You can't get out. There's no such thing. And yet, what took place? The Rabbeinu Shalom opened the gates wide and we marched out. That to us, Rabbi Yisai, is what we have to realize. Wherever we find ourselves in the world, whatever the situation of the Jewish people, in Chol Zman we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, we always have problems. Sometimes more problems, sometimes less problems, but problems we have. We're not free of problems. Sometimes frightening problems, nuclear threats, things that we don't fully understand. We can't comprehend fully. We're not sure exactly where we're going, what's going to happen. But just as in the impossibility of Mitzrayim, it made no difference what was impossible. When the Rabbeinu Shalom said the doors should open, the doors opened wide and we walked out. Wherever we find ourselves in any situation in the world, Pesach tells us that we're not beyond the hope of the Rabbeinu Shalom. No matter what situation we could find ourselves in, tomorrow the Rabbeinu Shalom will take that situation, change it so utterly that everything that was true about it until now is untrue. Mitzrayim lost its place in the world. The doors were open. We looted Mitzrayim. They were destroyed. We went forth. A year ago, who could imagine this? The greatest power in the world, the wealthiest, humbled and reduced to ashes. That's what the Jewish people can never despair. The Rabbeinu Shalom is with us as he took us out of Mitzrayim. And the impossible became the reality. Anything that we believe to be impossible is also in the realm of reality for us. Now, we cannot access the Kedushas HaChag unless we're mekayim the mitzvahs. Now, the world would like a mysticism, a spirituality untied to anything. You know? Wake up in the morning, pop a few pills and become mystical and spiritual and everything's fine. But it doesn't work that way. We have to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom. We have to humble ourselves before the Rabbeinu Shalom. And through that, we can access spirituality. But we're going to soar in the heavens without being rooted in the service of the Rabbeinu Shalom and his mitzvahs. Nothing to it. So the mitzvahs are the necessary means to which we merit the Rabbeinu Shalom to endow us with his kedusha and his experience with the chagas. And this is not an easy yontif, because in this yontif we're all balei tshuvas, all of us. A balei tshuva comes home one day, you know, the house is treif, the dishes are treif, everything is treif. To start from scratch. Kasha the whole place. New dishes. Everything new. Nothing in the house is kosher. Once a year, we're all balei tshuva, halavai. The whole house is treif. The message being that whatever we did until now, we're just up to the beginning. We have to start. Now, I have a friend that called me. They want to celebrate his 70th birthday, his friends. And he's a little bit squeamish about it. So I told him, I understand his squeamishness. A great Chassidish Rebbe came to his Rebbe when his Rebbe turned 70. And his Rebbe was crying. So he asked him, Rebbe, why are you crying? Why am I crying? He says, I'm 70 years old and I've yet to begun the service of the Rabbeinu Shalom. I shouldn't cry. So on Pesach we say, whatever we did, we have to start from Aleph. Start from the beginning. It's all trade, starting from scratch. Everything, we're going to redo the whole thing.